The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destra. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. And Brooke, the Flyers are on a four-game winning streak out of the break. Safe to say they buried that five-game losing streak they were on
going into the break.
They needed the break. And you got to give them credit. They talked about this break. It's coming at a good time. And it looked like it did. It looked like it came at a perfect time. And they are looking more and more like a playoff team, Brooke, which is pretty hard to believe given everyone thought this would be a rebuilding season. Hockey Reference gives them a 78.7% chance to make the playoffs. They've got 28 games to go here.
That is crazy.
Crazy to think, Brooke. I'm not sure anyone probably aside from the team itself thought they could maybe do this. Brooke, aside from the outdoor game on Saturday, the stadium series, the next tentpole date really for this team is the trade deadline, March 8th. Mm-hmm. Does this change their plans at all in your mind? Should it change their plans at all?
I don't think so, just because before the five-game losing skid, before the four-game winning streak, way ahead of the deadline, the All-Star break, the message has been the same really since the beginning of the season. You know, this team obviously went in with zero expectations and are exceeding them. However, it's not just, you know, you kind of want them to like push ahead. You want to be like buyers and sellers at the deadline, anything super crazy to make one push and then everything kind of collapses again. That was never the case. Everything this year, I'm taking it as a bonus. It's great to be able to look forward to the future, but it's exciting to be able to enjoy the now with this team as well. I don't think that they're going to be huge. I think maybe they're going to make a move or two at the deadline. However, I think they do not want to disrupt the chemistry that this team has to alter something, you know, temporarily for, you know, the playoffs this year. I think major moves might happen this offseason. Major, nothing too crazy. I think they've been very, very on one side that nothing was going to change with their notion this season. So, yeah, we might get a move or two, but I don't think it's going to be anything substantial, I guess I should say.
The offseason is always the better time for more hockey trades, where it's players for players and a chance to shake up your roster a little bit more. Brooke, I'm with you. I think the Flyers would have to be vying for the President's Trophy if they were going to be buying and really significantly changing Danny Briere's mind. I think Danny Briere has repeatedly said the vision has not changed. They are still focused on the future. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be major buyers. They're not going to spend prime assets for one playoff run. What I think the team has probably done is made him reconsider selling real hard. If they were a bottom three team or a bottom third team,
sure, it's a completely different
story. I think they're going to be thinking more about trading Travis Konechny and some of their maybe bigger contract players. I think this maybe is going to make Briere think, yeah, maybe sell a piece or two, but not totally rip the roster down to the studs. I think this is a team that's in a playoff race, and it looks like a playoff team, and it's giving Briere more reason to keep it a little more together. Mm-hmm. But I think they do need to think long and hard about some of the expiring contracts they have, especially on defense, and try to get some draft picks back. That's what the vision was, and I think it needs to stick.
Yeah, I think, and just because it's the one player that you mentioned, I'm gonna say something right now. I think you extend Travis Konechny in the offseason. I think you give him a chance to be the star for Philly. I really do, because obviously he's two-time All-Star. He's leading the team in goals this year. just let him have it. He's rocking with it. He's embracing the chaos of what this year has been. He's been here, you know, since 2016.
Yeah, 2016-17.
And he's tasted the playoffs with the Flyers before. He's been through absolutely everything. And I think, I don't know if it's the Gordie Howe that kind of solidified things for me in 4 minutes and 8 seconds, which is just the craziest thing I've ever witnessed live. Let him lead. I think that there was a lot of questions. I mean, John Tortorella has talked about it, the team as a whole leading into the season, about finding the identity for the Flyers. And I kind of feel like Travis Konecny is kind of becoming everything that this team wants to embody. Like, he's a scrappy, hardworking, talented player. And I just wanted to give him a little shout on the pod that I know he doesn't listen to. But
he does.
You're welcome, Never Travis. Know. No, yes. I'm just saying, like, he kind of rose to this occasion and there was no standard this year and he kind of set it. So I think that he's opening a lot of eyes. I think he's been really fun to watch this year, and I think he's earned the opportunity to stay and kind of create his own little lasting legacy with the Flyers. So I know we were going to start talking about like trade deadline stuff, but I just wanted to give a little shout out to TK, because he's been crushing it, Jordan.
No,
like,
and
he really has.
Konecny absolutely, I think, relates to the trade deadline, because it's probably a guy that teams around the league were going to look into if the Flyers were in a different position. I think everyone was wondering, how does Konecny fit their rebuilding timeline? But this rebuild is looking a little more expedited, and he's 26. I think he turns 27 in March. Mm-hmm. And very much looks like a guy I think can lead this youth movement. And I really think the Flyers in-house are thinking more and more about, this guy's here to stay, and he's not going to be a trade chip for us to kind of further supplement this rebuild. I think he's a guy that can absolutely lead this thing and is proving it. So I'm glad you brought that up, Brooke.
Brooke, TK. There you go. TK. Just kidding.
Now, if there is a guy, Brooke, that you feel is most likely to be dealt, who is it and why?
Ugh, it sucks because I don't want him to move. I feel like we talk about this nonstop, but this is not a conversation that we would have even dreamt of having in the preseason, because he was just a little trade chip that was added. I do see if there's anybody moving at the deadline, I do see it being a Sean Walker, just because, I like him. I really do. And that's a really difficult discussion that the front office needs to have right now, because you don't want to mess with the chemistry in the locker room and moving somebody, even though he's only been here for, you know, a little over half a season. He's made his mark and he's been a substantial, solid player. You're just kind of at the point now where it's like, do you want a handful of really great bottom players on this team, or do you want to kind of mix things up, get a pick moving forward, get another, you know, higher caliber player? I don't know. I really didn't think I would be so conflicted at the deadline, because I can pull up receipts from the podcast maybe in July or August. I was like, you move everybody but Carter Hart.
Trade the whole team.
And now we're having a much different discussion.
Yeah. No, I did not think... Who would have thought that Sean Walker would be making everyone say, oh, maybe they should keep him? I think everyone thought when he arrived here in that Provorov trade that he was on an expiring contract and was kind of a, maybe not like a reclamation project, but he was coming off a real serious injury a couple of years ago and was trying to prove himself again, and he has. And now I think he's going to have a lot of teams calling Danny Briere, looking into him. And I do think it is the most likely player to go. I think they already have kind of a surplus of defensemen. And I understand depth at that position is like gold, but they're playing 11-7 right now.
I don't want to see that ever
again. People don't want to see 11-7 anymore. Again. Even Tortorella said it the other day. He's like, it's not what we want to do. It's just kind of a necessity. Sure. They have defensemen they think they should play. So I think he's a guy that you can kind of fill in his responsibilities collectively. Mm-hmm. You know, what he does kind of on the PK, he's been a shorthanded threat there. He played on the power play a little bit earlier in the season, but they have power play guys that they want to see there defensively. I think it's the most likely guy to be moved, and I think the Flyers have to do it. And who knows? Maybe they can reconnect in the offseason and think about re-signing him. But yeah, he's a perfect rental type for teams that are a little more close to contending for the Stanley Cup. And I think you got to try to get draft picks back in return for players like him. But I do think it's going to be a loss, Brooke. I mean, to me, him and Nick Saylor, I think, have been maybe their most effective defensive pair all season. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly you're breaking that up and you're forcing things to be worked around. How does Nick Saylor play with someone else? And how do they fill Sean Walker's shoes? So I think it's going to be a little bit of a wrench thrown into the Flyers' plans down the stretch, but something they got to do.
I mean, I would much rather be sitting here debating having moved Sean Walker as opposed to being like, I don't know, Cam York's having a kind of off season. Let's see what we can get for him. You know, like, thank God, you know, obviously that's not the case. Mm-hmm. We're having discussions that I don't think anybody expected to have this early in a rebuild. Like, I think it was the perfect word that you said. It was expedited. Mm-hmm. This entire year, I really truly believe that anybody could have been up at the trade deadline. Yeah. Anybody could have moved. And now I kind of feel like this team has just kind of solidified and are in the, you know, the midst of creating this their own identity, really. And you don't want to throw a wrench in it, like you had said, until, you know, maybe you make some of those bigger moves in the offseason.
Yeah.
Really. Like there's so much talk going around, like, you got to move Scott Laughton at the deadline. You do not move Scott Laughton in the middle of a season like this when he really has been such a substantial player. And I love that the past two games against Seattle and Arizona, that he just kind of like popped off. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, he's seeing all these, his name speculating with trade rumors. And obviously this is going back to the off season as well. And he's like, I'm staying in Philly. Bing, bang, boom, 3 points, two games. Good for Scott Laughton. I just, when you talk about class as an athlete, Scott Laughton embodies it. He is an incredible locker room guy. He understands the city. He understands what it means to be the only person with any kind of letter on his sweater. And we were talking about it right before the pod, that his role has kind of jumped around substantially throughout this season, and he's just kind of owned up to it and taken on every single challenge that's been presented to him. And you don't want to move somebody like that right now. You do not.
Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, I'm so glad you brought up Scott Laughton, because I think that's a big name right now. You're very pro do not move Laughton, and I'm leaning that way too.
During the season.
Yes. Yeah.
During the season.
And I do think this is one, because it's such a delicate one because of what he means to the locker room. And that stuff is real. That's not just cliches of, oh, he's a good locker room guy and people like him. No, that's the only guy wearing a letter on his jersey, a guy that teammates love. And I think if they were to move him, you have to consider how that affects the locker room and players that have grown to like him, fans that have grown to love him.
They
in the
would
city.
Never be able to listen to the Squirtle saxophone yeah. celebration song ever again.
Which is
Jordan.
critical to the team's vibes. But no, I think it's a player that, without a doubt, the Flyers are going to listen on, but I do not think they're just dangling him out there carelessly and saying, someone take him. I think it's a guy that they're going to listen on and aim super high on, but I really don't think they're shopping him by any means.
No.
Do I think something could happen in the summer maybe, or next year when his deal is actually an expiring deal? Sure. But I think midseason, you're just seeing what he's been to the team just over the last couple of games. He's just a heart and soul guy, does all the intangibles, and that's why I think contending teams love him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's stuck with us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I think they're going to have the doors be blown down with an offer to move him.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure they're really ready to do that just yet. That's just my gut feel, and I do think he's a playoff player. I think he's a gritty guy. He can move up and down the lineup. He can play all positions, and you just see what he means on the ice and off the ice. So, Brooke, I think, yeah, you think they're going to have a lot of calls on him, but
sure.
They're eventually, you know, they're going to say, let's keep this guy for the rest of the season at least.
Mm-hmm. Just keep him. Keep him. I feel like if there is one player that moves right now that would genuinely cause a stir and disarray in the locker room, it's Scott Laughton.
Yeah.
Genuinely. If you move any of those guys, if it's Scott, I feel like everybody across the board would be like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And I
think the front office and coaching staff have a very strong emotional tie to him. And so those players are tough to move on from. And I think he really wants to be here. So we'll see where that goes. That is certainly a name to keep an eye on, Brooke, of course. But I'm with you. Good for Law in the last couple games. He's made huge plays. Like, we're not talking minor plays. I mean,
oh, no.
We're talking blocked shots. We're talking game-winning goals like he had last night in the comeback over the Coyotes. He's been very good.
His laser beam of a goal against Seattle.
On the power play.
I think I watched that highlight a dozen times.
Yeah.
At least a dozen times, because it was just a rocket. It was awesome. And that had to be such a great weight off of his shoulders. He hasn't scored since mid-January, and I just think, oh, man. Everyone was just like, way to go, Sarge.
With how quick that play was, for a second I thought it was Tyson Forster. Like, I really did. Like, the shot was that impressive.
It was crazy.
And it was from the circle, and, like, we've seen Forster at times show that publicized shot of his from that spot. I was like, oh, no, that was Scott Laughton.
He's like, I have more tricks in my sleeve that nobody knows.
It was impressive, big time. Brooke, another one, Nick Seeler is a guy that I think would really shake up the locker room if he was to be traded.
Yeah.
Do you think the team is maybe thinking more contract extension now rather than trade?
It's interesting because there's been speculation about that throughout this whole season that they were looking to re-sign Nick Seeler. I mean, he's a guy that kind of embodies this team and what they want to become. I mean, he's leading the league right now in block shots as well. Like, he is somebody who will put his body on the line to try and save a game, to try and, you know, shift the momentum of a game. He's hardworking. He's a good player. He's a good locker room guy. And yeah, he's another one that, again, you look, you know, a season ago and you're like, yeah, like, you think he can move, but he's become a staple. And, you know, when you have so many young players right now as well, you kind of just, you like looking toward a great solidified core that can help propel the rebuild. So you have the young guys coming up, and then you have a guy like Nick Seeler, you have a Scott Laughton, you have a Travis Konecny, and you have Sean Couturier, of course. You don't move them when you're kind of reconstructing like a heart and the soul of this team.
He very much seems like a culture guy, a guy that fuels the Flyers culture, and that's a guy I think they're going to want to maybe keep for at least the rest of the season. And I do believe they're going to think of re-signing him, and that it's impressive to see where he's gone from when he first started with the Flyers to now really looking like a key piece to things, almost like a linchpin of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him and good for Nick Seeler. But I think overall we're talking about names and guys on, you know, expiring deals, or Laughton, you know, I think is aspiring deal in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think the Flyers' overall mindset is they're going to listen. They're going to be open-minded.
Sure.
They're not
crazy Nazi.
Right. They're not going to be buyers, but I don't think they're going to be hardcore sellers. They're not propping up a for sale sign outside. Because that's not where the team is. But I do think they're going to listen, they're going to be open-minded, and Briere has vowed to do that since day one, since he was, you know, had the interim tag. So that's where I think the Flyers stand. They're going to listen, and they should.
I think it's crazy because when you're looking at this team, they have given certain players opportunities to thrive. You know, you come in with, again, like Sean Walker, I think, is a great example. Again, Nick Seeler, where you put them in a position where it could have gone either way. I didn't even think Sean Walker was going to make the roster to start the season. I just thought he was, you know, just tossed into the Ivan Provorov trade. I didn't expect anything from him. And he kind of just raised his own expectations. I mean, he's having a career year because the Flyers have given him an opportunity to showcase what he's capable of, where he might have been, you know, suppressed when he was on the Kings roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know what you're going to have until you give them a chance to succeed. And I think that that's also been a motto that they've gone through with a lot of these young players, like with Zamula. You kind of let him get through the stretch. You kind of let him figure things out. With Tyson Forrester, when he went through such a significant goal drought throughout the season, that he's just working through it and he's figuring it out. I think that that's just become a huge motto for the year. Like, let them have the chance. Let them let them prove themselves. And they have been time and time again. That's making us have difficult conversations. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I really like my favorite thing is now during the games when you can never count the Flyers out. Absolutely never. The amount of times that the Arizona game, like Arizona would tie things right back up, I'm like, I still see the Flyers pulling through. It's not watching the guys on the ice because you can go and you can watch the replay of that. It's watching the fans and the crowd and the initial reaction. I just feel like everybody believes that this is a fun, competitive team again. Mm. And if anything, that was the goal for this season. Everyone was like, give us time. We want to put a good product on the ice for you. And because everything's kind of been expedited, people are buying in. They want them to do well. They want playoffs in South Philly. I want playoffs in South Philly. Mm-hmm. And it's been really fun to just watch everybody react, like caring and giving a crap. I don't know how else to explain it. It's been so refreshing and exciting that they're a fun team night in, night out. You don't know what you're going to get, but it's going to be a good game. Don't talk about the 5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Everything else, this has been a heck of a season, and we still got ways to go. So who knows what's going to happen?
They very much have, I think, forced the Flyers' hand a little bit, and that's what the Flyers asked for. They asked for the players to kind of dictate the timeline of the rebuild, and so far it's looking like it's sped up without a doubt. And I think fans are not losing sight of like the future and Matvei Mishkov and prospects, but without a doubt, I think they're enjoying coming to games and seeing a competitive, fun team, like you said.
It's
tough to complain about that.
You go from, oh, the Flyers are on, I guess I'll put them on TV tonight, to we got to get down to Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah. Yeah.
That alone is a huge shift. You can check on social media. People are caring. Like, I know it seems so, like, minuscule, but it's so important to have fans wanting to back this team. And I still keep thinking back to the successful road trip right before the All-Star break where Owen Tippett had a walk-off interview and he was like, I just can't wait to get back and play for our fans. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be really honest with you, Jordan. I can't remember the last time a Flyers player has said that.
Yeah.
Like, and genuinely meant it, where it's like they want the fans to be like, they're a part of this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as Bryce Harper likes to stress it with Phillies fans that, like, they are the additional player in the clubhouse. They are the heart and soul, like, of the Phillies. Like, the Flyers want that, too.
Mm-hmm.
They want the fans to be so involved. And I'll talk about that till I turn blue in the face. Like, yeah. I'm so thrilled that people give a crap.
Yeah.
Said that twice on the podcast now. Give a crap.
Yeah. I think that was the battle the Flyers were fighting for a while, was getting their fans to give a crap. Honestly, that was, I think, a big fight.
Mission accomplished.
Getting fans to buy back in and to care about the Flyers and to want to come to games. They have certainly accomplished that. I think they're getting fans back on board, excited about the future, but also very much excited about what's going on this season. Brooke, one more player that I think you've been really impressed by and maybe could be a low-key trade chip for them. Maybe some teams will come calling, just given kind of what he experienced earlier in the season with John Tortorella, Morgan Frost.
I didn't say him specifically because he's staying.
Yeah, there you go. Morgan Frost is staying in Philadelphia, but he, I think, is playing some of his best hockey. It's reminding me of last year. It's impressive. Maybe this will be a storyline for him in his career where he starts a little slow, but once he gains confidence, man, he gets going, and he's fun to watch.
Every single shift he took against Arizona, I was watching Frost. He drew 3 penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, he was all over the place. And Frost has really, like you said, the turn of the calendar year, out of the All-Star break, like, he is just somebody that it, like, shifts into a whole different gear. It's kind of remarkable because it's not that he was playing poorly prior, but you can kind of think of how everything lines up when he had he knocked on Tortorella's office and having like an open conversation about everything that was going on and how they can kind of shift things around to kind of see eye to eye, I guess. And then Frost just kind of, explodes into this great, like last night, it was probably one of the best 200-foot games I've ever watched him play. He's been remarkable.
He looks like a guy you want to throw out there late in games. And I don't think Tortorella was ever really convinced that Morgan Frost was a guy you would put out there in a key shift late in a game. Like, he's looking like one of their better players.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. That it's weird, but I think there's a belief that that was a breakthrough. It was when Frost went to see him
100%.
And disagreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Tortorella, like, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what it took for them to get a little closer, it looks like it worked because Frost is playing more. Tortorella is trusting him more.
Mm-hmm. And I'm all for it. And then again, post-game, Frost just kept going on and on about the locker room and the guys and how everybody backs each other. And, you know, we've been around a decent, you more than me, but a decent amount of teams and groups throughout the years. And it's not just something that we're saying to, like, make people happy. This team genuinely feels so different. They're so tightly knit. Like, I forget who was saying it, but when these guys are out on the road, like, it's not like two or three guys going to grab dinner. It's like a table for like a dozen players.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not two dozen. That would be crazy.
Yeah. The whole team. No.
The whole team every single night. But like, they want to spend time together. Like, the whole, I thought it was incredible that the guys refused to let Jamie Drysdale go home during the All-Star break because they understood the importance of wanting him to feel so welcome to this team. So they said, we have the hotel room. We booked your flight. You literally just need to show up.
Yeah.
I think that is incredible. And I think that it just kind of shows how special this specific team is. So don't break it up. Not right now. Not when things are so good. Not when the vibes are high. Not while the Squirtle saxophone song is playing. Not when the guys, you know, when they are together 24/7 throughout the season, are spending the 1 week they have off together still.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Like, it's so special. So I'm all for it. I don't know how I got there from talking about Morgan Frost, but...
But he's a young player that you think is a foundation piece and a guy that's kind of fueled that group of young players that are getting along with each other and developing together. Brooke, without a doubt, I think that will be one of the bigger conversations when the decision makers get together and talk about trade deadline is how does it impact our locker room? Not just on the ice, but how will guys respond to it? That, I think, will be a massive topic of conversation, and it should be, because the locker room is very tight. And that's something Breer, Keith Jones, John Tortorella, everyone, they have to consider that as they make these huge decisions. But, Brooke, we're not there just yet. It's March 8 is the trade deadline. It's February 13 as we talk on this podcast. Still some big games to play for the Flyers, but they are giving everyone, I think, a lot of discussion and the Flyers some big decisions.
I'm having a good time, Jordan.
Yeah, Brooke Destro is having a good time.
All that matters.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. So there are so many more important things.
But, Brooke, great to see you. Great to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining me. Big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, for always being flexible with our time. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia today. Appreciate you listening. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.